Friends, will you join me in prayer? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Years ago, I visited the Mamertine prison in Rome. This prison was built in 64 BCE to cage large groups of prisoners underground beneath the main sewer system of Rome. The prison actually opens up through an entrance in the ground. It's this entrance about slightly larger than a pothole, and prisoners were actually dropped down into this slimy circular room underneath the ground. It's pitch black, and the guide told us dozens of men would be forced into this tight, claustrophobic space. We don't know if this is the exact place where the Apostle Paul writes the letter to the Philippians, but it was certainly a place like this. There was no water to bathe, and often the incarcerated people there were placed there after a brutal flogging. They went in naked with their wounds raw and no bandaging. And as you can imagine, it was a place of infection and disease. And no one from Rome attended to these prisoners. Family and friends could come and drop down supplies, or in Paul's case, and probably others, they would dictate their letters to someone standing above. There was no possibility of writing something underneath the ground. We read in Philippians how the people in the church there sent some of these gifts to Paul. And after several months of being abandoned, the men in the prison, those who survived, were simply pulled up and released. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. It is hard to imagine a more dire situation than the one Paul finds himself as he's writing these words. It would be cruel for us to think that Paul is denying the current circumstances he's in. And it would be wrong and out of character with God's love to pretend that everything will work out fine for Paul or to give some sort of false optimism about the future. We hear Paul not just talking about, but encouraging and helping people to rejoice. The rejoicing that Paul's talking about today actually isn't for individuals. It's a corporate. Y'all rejoice, he says. There's something about doing this life together. There's something to knowing that we are not alone that leads Paul to say, rejoice. The theologian Karl Barth once wrote that joy in Philippians is a continual, defiant nevertheless. A continual and defiant nevertheless. Nevertheless means in spite of. Barth said, it is a war cry against threatening power, a dangerous interference or affliction. Paul's joy is a protest against defeat, against the crushing violence of the world as he is experiencing it. Where there is joy, death has not yet won. Friends, all it takes is for us to pay attention to the shared life, to see that we don't actually need reasons to shore up this joy. I rejoice because I have seen people brought to life again through love and community. I have seen people transformed, people who have grown in generosity and kindness over time. I have seen people decimated by abuse and abandonment, resuscitated by love and acceptance. I have seen it. I have seen resistance and solidarity. I have seen people refusing to give up on their freedom even when everything else was against them. I have seen people come together for a new world. I have seen and I rejoice. One of the women who has been my teachers about joy through books and words is the abolitionist Miriam Kaba. She once said, hope is a discipline. and we have to practice it every single day. Hope has something to do with joy. These are virtues with their arms linked together. People who have hope rejoice. We rejoice because of what Paul says next. The Lord is near. God has already joined up God's body to the struggle of creation, the pain and death and sorrow that Paul sees and smells, the stench winding through the bodies packed into this cavern. It has all come to naught because God lives in Jesus. That's where God is. We rejoice in all things because the kind of joy we cultivate does not depend upon the world being easy or even good. Instead, joy is a source of hope that the resurrection of Jesus is already working its way out in often surprising and unexpected ways. See, the kingdom of God is among you. This letter from Paul is written in the most dire and terrible moments of a human life. Paul has been charged with a capital offense and he is on his way to death. Paul's offense is sedition. We have to remember that Rome during this time was incredibly tolerant. Their only demand was that people would give up exclusivity. And yet the early church claimed that the Roman system of idolatry propped up desperation for the poor and a massive wealth for just a select few. They preached that this system of death and despair was coming to an end through a new people who shared what they had together, who remade the world. God was going to redo creation by the way of this beloved community who put them on the side of the vulnerable. And that promise became a threat to those in power in Rome. Our common life is still a threat to economic and political dispossession. It is a threat to people who rule by fear and might. And our joy, our refusal to abide by the terror of the powerful, puts us into allegiance with others who also proclaim, Jesus is Lord and Rome is not. I want to end the sermon by playing you a song by a group called the Resistance Revival Chorus. And I'm going to extend this invitation from Paul to rejoice. This group of 60 women singers joined together to shore up these songs of joy and resistance for these terrible days. And so they sing the words of this old gospel song that go, "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away." The joy that we have has not been given by the world. It is not given by stable markets or having wise and thoughtful leaders in charge of our country. This joy is not about some flaccid optimism or that we manage to get a few steps ahead of other people. Friends, the Lord is near. God's body joined the suffering of this world, and God is undoing death itself. The world did not give you this joy, and the world cannot take it away. So I want to tell you, I am physically unable to hear this song without moving my body. And so in order to save myself embarrassment, and also just maybe to push us out of our comfort zone a little bit, if you feel like dancing to this song or clapping or singing or moving, join me and help me feel a little less embarrassed about this, like this inability I have to keep still during the words of these songs. You could even turn off your camera. Nobody has to see. Go ahead, stand out of the frame. But as we sing this, as we listen, and I invite you to sing again to the song, remember that we are putting our bodies into this promise, our actual bodies, our living bodies, individually, together, corporately, as the love and liberation of Jesus for the world. So feel free to stand up, to join in, as we rejoice in God's continual nevertheless.